Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. You know, I was just thinking about this. We record on Wednesdays generally.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday is the day that I'm usually out of the office. I call an off day. I don't call my off day, but what day is your off day?
My off day is Monday, like many other priests. And it so happens that it's assaulted sometimes in the sense that sometimes we have funerals or we have things. And for me, it's very difficult because I work in the Archdiocese also to switch the off day or the Sabbath day, as I call it.
Sure.
What do you do on your so-called day off?
Yeah, I had Mondays for a while, and I switched to Tuesdays because I found in Mondays there was a lot of carryover from the weekend. So I often was addressing a funeral that came in or other pastoral issues that came in. So Tuesday is good. I'm not very good at keeping it. I use it to answer emails. I do sometimes, I don't take appointments, but do other kinds of work. And yeah, I'm not very good at that.
Yeah, one of the issues I had that I discussed with my spiritual director and other people was how bad I was about keeping my day off. I've been focusing more this year, and as you know, we've discussed this before, but I've done a lot of hiking this winter and this spring. And then it's a whole day that if you leave the place, it helps.
Yeah.
It's difficult to... I still answer some emails. I still reply to some texts, but it's at least it's a change of scenery, and that helps a little bit.
Right.
So we are episode 130 already.
Yeah, that's right. Moving along. And this is now the 18th Sunday in Ordinary Time that we're running up to. So where am I going to read from?
We are reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 13 to 21.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now, as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God."
My first comment always is how many times Jesus speaks about finances.
Yeah,
and
right.
Not only in terms of justice. He gives very acute advice for human beings of all generations. The first part of the gospel, "Why are you asking me to arbitrate?" What Jesus is asking. Don't we do that many times? That we try to get Jesus' opinion on issues that I'm not sure that Jesus would like to talk about. And then the second part is very interesting because, first of all, many times Jesus is giving literally financial advice and we've taken it into something else. It's not about the rich. We want to make it palatable for us. But here he's speaking about finances, and I think we should deal with the financial part first and then see if there is any other application to our lives. Do you know what I mean? I can give you examples.
Give me examples.
I believe the advice that Jesus is giving is, it's against greed. That's very clear. Second, don't worry so much about accumulating, about the future, when you have to be able to live the present time. You could take this financially, and you could take it otherwise also. Because we worry about the future, we don't live the present time in more ways than just financial. But I think we have to pay attention to the financial part first.
I think you're right about that, but I look at it with maybe a different lens. And
that's
saying,
why we are here.
Right. But I think, first of all, just that fact, to acknowledge that yes, Jesus talks a lot about money. And we need to remember that to live our life as disciples, to live our lives as Christians, means we need to think about this very often. It's not something separate. And you know what I'm going to say here, as pastors, we need to be talking about money, and people need to be used to, as disciples coming to worship, reflecting on the resources. I think one line that stands out for me is my reason for feeling so strongly about this. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So notice that the man is the recipient of a gift from the land.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reality of everything that we have. We think of this in terms of the term stewardship, but everything that we have is on loan to us from God,
mm-hmm.
whether it's coming from the land, whether it's coming from our own cooperation in God's grace with the talents that he has given mm-hmm. to us, but it's not ours.
And the people around us, they are also on loan to us. I preached once about, look at the people you have around, your spouse, your children, your friends, as people who are there given to you as an investment also, as a on loan. For me, it was very important, that parable, famous parable of the talents, that the language there is of loaning more than giving, you know?
Right.
It's less about possession and more about, look at all these things you have, all these people and resources, as something that has been given to you for a time. God still owns the principle, like an accounting person would say, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's God gives us everything that we need on loan for us to tend it in a responsible way, but most importantly, to return it back to God mm-hmm. with love, with increase. And how beautiful is that? And I think that this is something that we always need to be reflecting on, but I think we've struggled a little bit with in our faith communities, I think in our country, that sense of just generosity, because what we have comes from God, first mm-hmm. of all. We're a very philanthropic country comparatively, but I wonder if we're falling short a little bit in that area.
When I was a Boy Scout, what they told you is, leave the place better than you found it.
Right.
And they meant literally, when we would camp someplace, that you had to leave it, not even clean it up, but make it better than you found it. And that made an impression on me. And that's about life also. Leave the world better than you found it.
What this requires, though, is a real sense of trust. Again, especially when it comes to our resources and giving things away, especially, like many of us, we feel like we don't have enough. But a real trust in the Lord that he's going to provide and give so much more. And again, I've felt this so strongly in my own life. I've seen it in others. The more that you give to God, the more that he gives back.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to make that trust to kind of cross that bridge to act on that,
excellent,
first of all.
Point. There is something there also, that if you can look at the gospel, so for people to know how this works, Father Philip has the gospel in front of him, and I choose not to. And it's a line about when the man says, I'm going to do this, and then he goes and rests and drinks, or...
Yeah, so there in the barns, and build larger ones, I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry.
So maybe that's part of the problem, that the guy talks to himself, which is a sign of craziness, right?
Mm.
He has this monologue upon with himself. And maybe we should be mindful of these dialogues that we have with ourselves. I call this rationalize. What he's doing is what you said before. He's taking ownership of the bountiful he has received. He says, this is mine. I deserve it. And now I talk to myself and I convince myself that now it's time to be merry and to rest and not to do anything, to be lazy. And I think that's part of the problem. But expand this to all these dialogues we have with ourselves.
Did you see what I just did?
You took a note.
I did.
It's been a while.
That is a really fascinating point.
What does the note say?
Well, it says he talks to himself. That's a really fascinating point that I just hadn't quite realized. He's talking to himself, you know, and this little cycle that he's in, and rationalizing or whatever. I think rationalizing is being a little complimentary. That's the best approach here. He's doing something very unhealthy here and focusing on the wrong things for the wrong reasons. So
mm-hmm.
focusing here on these things, that beautiful and powerful and sobering line. But God said to him, you fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And all those things you prepare, to whom will they belong?
Yeah.
That's the question for every single one of us, especially when we feel as we've been blessed, not just with finances, but blessed with relationships, blessed with opportunities in life. You know, in the end, what really matters? Mm-hmm. That's always the important question. And, you know, we celebrate a lot of funerals. A lot of people in life, they'll go to a few funerals for family members and friends. We're doing it all the time. And you know what? It's a simple reality, but we know it. One's finances really makes no difference when it comes to one's funeral.
Funny, this reflection about we don't possess anything. I had a funeral a couple of days ago where the spokesperson for the person said, "Father, you are not giving communion today. It's the first time in my life that I don't give communion at a mass where I'm presiding."
Hmm.
There were two concelebrating priests, and she wanted the two priests to give communion, which is fine. I did the homily. I realized it. It's not ours. You know what I mean? Especially at funerals, things get this way, you know?
Yeah.
I smiled and I took it as, you know, it is what it is.
Sure.
We are on loan. Our parishes are really not ours. My vocation is really the church's vocation. So it was a good lesson. I smiled because I thought it was an interesting... You know what I mean? There were two people and she wanted two grandchildren to give communion.
I see.
There were
okay.
two priests and she wanted two
because
members of the
numbers.
Family. Exactly. Because
I
they
see.
Had many grandchildren.
That makes sense.
And they wanted to do anything. So she said, "You are sitting down. You're not giving communion." I said, "Okay."
I've been in that situation too, where I've said, you know, we want to give an opportunity to others once
yeah.
in a while. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot here in this gospel. It's very beautiful. What I encourage anyone listening to this or praying on this is to really engage prayerfully in this, not to take it too simply or
yeah.
too quickly. This is one of those we can weaponize and use against someone we think has more money than we do, and because of envy or something like that.
For me, the emphasis would be in finances and otherwise. Of course, you have to take measures for the future, but don't let the worry for the future take the joy of the present time. And then I'm as fascinated as you are with this thought that just came out about the self dialogue and these dialogues we have with ourselves. And sometimes it's the other way around. People have negative dialogues with themselves. They
right.
convince themselves of negative things.
Oh, absolutely.
And it goes both ways. So one day I hope to be able to reflect some more about that. But for this weekend, I think, don't let the worry of the future totally take the ability you have to grasp the day.
All right, good. Look for Mass this coming weekend, the Saturday night or Sunday, masstimes.org or archmill.org. So we'll get together next week then and
sure.
chat more.
Mm-hmm.
All right, excellent. I'll
see you there.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.